call the meeting, the Sheffield Select Board, April 1st, 2026, to order at 6:02 p.m.
Okay, we have one addition, because Eric decided at the last minute to send me a letter that everybody's gonna sign now. So we'll do this quick. Okay, so we had an errors and omissions that we did back in February, and I forgot to have you guys sign the Select Board line. And it doesn't have to go anywhere, it just gets filed in the book, but errors and omissions we do when there's a mistake in the grand list, so it affects somebody's tax bill, and we fix the mistake, but it has to be signed off on and fixed, because it changes the amount of the grand list.
I was not a selectman during that time. Should I sign that?
Yes.
Oops, I just signed over the list or something.
That's fine.
It's fantastic.
Just put an arrow over there.
Apparently the Select Board chair can read. No. It's fantastic.
Wakey, wakey.
Yeah, right? I'm still in Dallas time.
Seriously. Okay, we have to do a nomination for the NVDA rep.
Okay.
Carolyn is going to be the primary, and if I read your email correctly, Keith is going to be the backup.
No, Keith.
Keith, you want to?
Yeah, Keith said, I'm assuming he wants to keep on.
Oh,
he needs it worse than I do.
Sorry, guys. When I talked to him, I said I would want to replace him on the meeting.
Yeah.
If you don't want to, I'm sure he'll do it. It doesn't matter.
Let him do it.
Okay.
Okay. So I need somebody to make a motion to nominate.
I'll make the motion.
Hold on. Let me finish what the whole nomination is. To nominate Carolyn Crankshaw as the primary representative for the NVDA board with Keith Ballack as the secondary.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
There we go. What are you doing over here? Okay, so we did that. Okay. I'm going to skip the meat ordinance for now because that's going to get long and then I can cut that off in time. So we have three policies that need to be signed. So Max brought me this town road bridges and bridges standards. This is a state policy that we sign every few years to make it has diagrams on how the roads are supposed to be graveled and tilted and culverted and, you know, road things. And Max advised that nothing has changed, but the state needed an updated signed copy. Now, you're going to ask me where we're supposed to sign it. So page two, obviously take a look, but page two right here, Eric LaValle, is where you sign.
Thank you.
And then we did, over the course of the last 2 months, we wrote two new policies. So the road crew helps out the residents during the winter. If the snow at the end of their driveways gets too tall, the resident can call us, and for a fee, we will go up and use the loader and remove the snow from the end of the driveway and kind of wing things back so they can see. So Max asked for a new policy in order to have the hourly rate change.
What is it now anyway?
It was $35. It's going to $100. It usually takes...
Yeah, a couple hours.
No, not even. Maybe a half an hour, 45 minutes.
Depends where they're going.
Obviously, it depends on how far away they have to go. So there's that. And then we have a policy. We've been helping Wheelock out with a few repairs. So Max believed that it would be in our best interest to have an actual policy in place so that it keeps all of the work, not the actual work, but like the billing of it and what is acceptable for the road crews to be, I don't want to say to be able to do, but to be able to say yay or nay whether they're going to do something or not. And it has hourly rates in there so that Wheelock will have that too.
Copy tonight.
Did I what?
And we can get them a copy tonight.
And we can get them a copy tonight. And do you want to talk about your letter?
Yeah, sure. So I don't know if everybody has really looked into Act 181 and what it might mean for the future of rural Vermont.
It's a disaster.
That's kind of how the opinion that everybody has. So I put together basically our stance on it from the select board's position, because I have had some other residents come up and ask for us to at least try to get a waiver for the tier 3 implementation. I spoke to a couple of our representatives and senators, and they advised the best person to discuss this would be Senator Watson, who is the current chair of the Senate Committee on Natural Resources and Energy, where the implementation bill is currently, I guess, in committee, where they're looking at it. So, essentially said that the Sheffield Weekly Select Board has heard from many residents regarding the implementation of Act 181 within our community. The town of Sheffield is located in a rural portion of the Northeast Kingdom and is home to many multi-generational property owners. Many of these properties are large in acreage, and Act 181 would likely trigger excessive Act 250 reviews on future development. The board understands that there is a need to balance development with the protection of our natural resources. However, we believe that Act 181 is not that balanced. Vermonters are currently facing some of the highest tax burdens in the nation, and the addition of excessive permit application fees and reviews will lead to even more of an exodus from Vermont. The intent of Act 181 is to allow construction of family housing within our community. We would experience the opposite effect. We wholeheartedly support a repeal of Act 181 and urge our legislators to develop a more common sense solution to the problems that Act 181 was supposed to have solved. While parts of Act 181 have less impact on our residents, we believe the best option is to repeal Act 181 completely and start over. The damaging effects of this legislation on our rural communities in Vermont was never considered when the legislation was written and passed, and we fear that our voices still fall upon deaf ears. Respectfully, the town of Sheffield. So, is everybody in agreement with sending this?
That's a good letter.
First off?
Yeah.
Okay. So what we can do is we can sign it tonight and then get it sent off, so at least they have a feel for what the constituency here is feeling, because as you said, that's basically the whole thing that I'm getting, is that it's just going to be more of a problem for our residents than a solution.
They really haven't gotten into the delineation of the lands that would cause a controversy, and so far what they have done suggests that we probably would get a buy on most of it anyway.
I would like to think so, but it's the larger properties.
The areas that they're looking at that they've nailed down so far that they don't want to see develop, unbelievably, are along the interstate,
mm-hmm.
which is the area that has been hammered the worst by building the interstate. The other thing is that most of the people of any significant ownership in Sheffield have already indicated that they don't want to develop.
Right.
So, and last but not least, the draft document that they showed us a few months ago where we could develop leaves us plenty of room to hide the 35 houses that we've got to come up with in the next 20 years. So,
can I ask a question?
Yes, ma'am.
So that's a pretty strong stance as opposed to asking just for an extension on considering that. Is that the action that you want to take? Or
honestly, I don't know that this is going to affect them one way or the other.
No.
Because the problem being is that, well, most people, you're right, don't want to develop, but what happens when people die off, property gets sold, because it's all part of the basically the trying to get rural Vermont basically conserved 50% of the state by 2050. So if this goes into effect, it'll trigger an Act 250 review on anything over an 800-foot driveway, or even in addition, let's say you have a
750-foot driveway.
Right, so yeah. You couldn't, what you have now, you couldn't do without the Act 250 review.
Well,
under a tier 3.
The other thing is that they haven't done a good job at all of indicating how you get to 30% and 50%.
Right.
If you, like my property is classified as an R2,
mm-hmm.
and yet it's got a conservation easement on it, what's wrong with this picture? I mean, the Department of Taxes doesn't talk to anybody. Half the state is R2.
Right.
And if they simply came up and said, well, our two lands, if they're not developed other than one house, would qualify as conserved land, we could all go home.
Right.
They've done a lousy job of mitigating the requirement because they haven't really gone in and defined things the way they should have. And starting over with 181 might be a good way to do that. Now, I kind of agree with Carol. I don't think they're going to eliminate it, but it needs to be redone so that things like PBR and the problems with the wood products industry get some more respect. We're just not getting any respect at all in this bill right now.
No, and that's the big thing, is that a lot of these things I feel have been pushed upon, especially the rural communities. Because obviously the development zones...
It's a rich man's bill. It's for burdened people. Mm.
Correct. And that's the biggest issue I think most people I've talked to have had with this, is that they're all for easing up those Act 250 restrictions on building within the towns and within some of these population centers. But the problem is that while they're doing it here, they're tightening it down everywhere else. And that's really, especially in a town here without zoning.
Oh, we're going to be a victim if we're...
Right.
Yeah. Because they don't fix the language.
You know, I don't really want, you know, a lot of development per se. You know, like, you go down 89 over to Burlington, they have those, you know, planned row houses, if you will. I don't, you know, that doesn't have a place here. But, you know, if you've got 100 acres and you have 10 kids and you want to give each one of them 10 acres, I don't, you know, that's still, to me, that's still rural. 10 acres is a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, a lot of people in the town, myself included, you know, we don't have 10 acres. So that's my feeling on it, if you will.
Yeah, same thing. I don't want to see, you know, row houses and everything built out in the middle of...
No. There wasn't enough thought behind it.
No, and that's... Mm-hmm. I just wish there was more...
Well, if we don't come across with a strong point, and everybody in the NEK does that, that might get their attention when they start looking at it. If you wimp out on this thing, it's just, hey, look at the NEK rolled over, so we can go ahead and do this.
Right.
And that's kind of where taking that stance. Yeah. It's, you know, call for the repeal, and they can at least cut it down. You know, if we're able to find some middle ground, I think that would be a much happier solution, especially, like I said, you know, Tier 1, I think we can all probably agree on. Tier 1's not a horrible concept. You know, trying to eliminate some of the restrictions on building housing, period. But then let's just slow things down before we get way out and start looking at these larger tracts and these larger acreages and, you know, people who are potentially moving here to create a farm or to raise a family, because that's all what they're looking at restricting, at least again from people I've discussed it with and seen myself. But yes, ma'am.
Eric, are other towns nearby going to see your letter?
Potentially. I have no problem with forwarding this out or putting it locally.
If you want other towns to speak up.
And other towns have been. I know the town of Fairleigh has put one out. Some other folks I've talked to, I know I've seen at least three or four other pretty strongly worded, even much more strongly worded and much more lengthy, getting into the real nitty gritty. This is just more of a, look, we at least need to let you know that, hey, we have a lot of residents here that have spoken up and have said we want our voices heard.
Yeah.
So, okay.
We'll
and that's,
on the website.
What's that?
We'll put it on the website.
And that's a thought too, the website, the Facebook.
Okay.
So we also have the Burke Community Forum. So, I mean, this isn't intended to be just a straight letter off with no public involvement.
Right.
I would like this to get out there so people can
understand. Letter to the editor.
Absolutely.
Because people is pretty much the only...
No, don't make it a letter to the editor.
Well, no, but...
that and the police log.
But we can get with Dana Gray.
Oh, yeah.
And discuss it with him.
Maybe an opinion piece.
Right.
There are too many nuts and berries in the letter to the editor.
Right.
That's what makes it so much fun to read.
Yeah, I know.
Especially when you read the byline, like seeing it from Utah or coming in from West Virginia or where have you. Yes. So, no, I would certainly like to get this out to the news. So,
sign here.
All right.
So while we're doing that, we did not have a productive tax payment month this month.
Mm. Oh,
we are at $35,529.68. So we had a roughly $4,000 in payments or so.
It's not terrible.
Apparently April's going to be the start calling month. Okay, so then there's that. So, we had a request to discuss uniforms for the highway department.
Okay.
Do you want to field that, since how you've probably had the most conversation out of all of us about it?
Pillow talk.
Yeah. So Mark and Max were inquiring about possibly uniforms or a uniform budget. Perhaps other towns do that. I know in Sutton they have a $600 allowance per road crew member yearly to go towards things like work boots and pants and shirts and stuff like that. Having recently bought a pair of work boots, they are very expensive. And they only last about a year. So, you know, it's something that, I don't know, I think it's something to consider. Other towns do it, and it could be a nice perk for the road crew members to have something like that. I know at one point they looked into uniforms from Cintas? I think it's Cintas.
Oh, yeah.
But Cintas is pretty pricey. I think that was around $1,200.
Yeah, it's $2,075 per week per person.
Yeah. So a $600 allowance per year would be far more cost effective.
So that would be $2,150 for the year. And this is, they pick them up, launder them, and bring them back?
Yes.
Okay.
So do they replace them as well, like if they're ripped out or fix them or whatever?
Yeah.
So that's $2,158. So
that's worth just like gold.
Yeah, seriously.
So $600.
They're kind of like a universe.
Yeah, we had universe at the shop. But we did.
So $600 a person would be $1,200 for a year. So.
Mm-hmm. So we paid half and the dealership paid half. And that was. Everybody seemed to like that. And then the other thing was we got the red shop rags as well. Mm. So you know if you're working on something or whatever, you want.
So I also like this idea. The only issue I have is because the budget was passed at town meeting is finding a place to put it for this year. And like as we discussed with when we were looking at the budget is the highway department is already scheduled to be a deficit. Mm-hmm. This year.
And I don't think this is something we necessarily have to come to a conclusion on today. It was just something to kind of get on everyone's minds and have a discussion about. So if we even need to table this to another time, that's fine too. But
I don't have an issue with it.
No, but I think it definitely wouldn't hurt to look into if there's different companies out there. Like I said, UniFirst or Cintas or...
I think they're the only ones.
I don't know.
Cintas may have bought out UniFirst.
Okay.
Don't quote me on that.
Because obviously we ran into an issue when it came to the rugs or the carpets that we were looking at in here.
Yes, so we were going to have UniFirst do like the bi-weekly or monthly cleaning for the carpets at the door. And we got the contract signed, we got everything ready. And then she's like, well, we don't have anybody that can drive that route, so we can't do it. And I'm like, that's amazing, thank you. So
that's a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. So... my thought is that it's a great idea, but maybe we table it until we do the 2027 budget.
That's kind of where I'm at.
$1,200, I mean, that's not that big a deal.
No, and it also help you know, everybody with their washing machines. And,
yeah.
Yeah, it's huge on washing machines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And especially the boots, like you say.
Or even do maybe $300 a year in the allowance and then do the... cleaning service, so we do both.
Yeah, definitely be something
that way. Better. Yeah, that way you can deal with the boot situation, but at the same time, then the uniform just gets laundered.
How much were the uniforms a week?
It's $20.75 per person, so it comes out to $21.58 for the year.
And they supply the uniforms?
That I don't know. I was just handed a pamphlet by Max and was like, "Can we get this?" And I'm like. And where do you want me to put that?
Yeah, they supply them. They launder them. If you rip them, they replace them.
That's actually pretty good. We had them at the shop. It was the technicians loved them.
Yeah. So I think it's a great idea. Mm-hmm. But maybe we make sure it gets into the budget for the 27 budget.
So put that pin in it and yeah.
Okay. So do we need to make a motion on this one?
I don't think
we need to because we'll have a whole budget meeting in January and then we'll go through.
Just remember to make things. Sure we get it in.
Yeah. Okay. I will. Well, the thing is, I'll put this in my folder because I have a folder for everything that needs to go in for the next budget.
Okay,
so then that leaves us at the property maintenance ordinance. I don't know if we want to discuss it. I don't know what you guys want to do.
I don't have a problem discussing it.
Because I think you've done quite a bit of research.
Okay, you have 9 minutes. Go.
No pressure. I did not print them off. My printer is Sharona, so I didn't print them off. But I'll just kind of stick them out here. So I did do some research on different towns in Vermont and what they have for ordinances on. Are these multiple copies or just?
So I printed off a copy of each one, and then I made notes in the margins what I thought worked and didn't work, and changed whatever.
So you've read it further than I have. I kind of skimmed through that each one and noticed things that I thought could possibly work for this town. There were things that obviously aren't going to work for this town, but I think there's a lot of good ideas in here that could work for Sheffield. And unfortunately, I think it's come to a point where having some sort of ordinance around nuisance properties is needed. And it's really sad that it's come to that, but I don't think anything is going to change unless there's some sort of ordinance, and hopefully we can get some teeth behind it, because it's embarrassing. Driving through Sheffield is embarrassing.
Now, would you want it to be something that was like the, I was going to say the I-122 corridor, the Route 122 corridor, like we had like a center designation and then the ordinance.
Scenic byway,
yes.
For the scenic byway. And it applied to that, or, because I noticed, like, I want to say in the Bennington one, they have like a committee that like goes out to properties to look at things.
But they're much more dense than we are.
Right, they're very dense.
I mean, I think that's just open for discussion. I think whatever people felt like would work best for the town, to me, it kind of seems like it would be best for, you know, the 122 stretch, because that's the stretch that most people are driving through. But it doesn't mean that you don't see stuff like that on other roads too.
Yeah. So right. Can I offer a suggestion here?
I
think this is like a great beginning at scoping out what we could possibly do, but I hate to see it rushed through because we have like a wheel out. Like, is it possible?
Oh yeah, no, we're not going to vote on it tonight.
There'll be no vote tonight. This is just to get started.
Right, I
imagine that we'll want to work with the planning commission, and like Al said, we'll need an attorney because all of those things. And I think Sally had a comment, apparently, from the back corner there.
Yes, I do.
The peanut gallery in the back.
Instead of coming at this from a zoning ordinance, come at it from a tax standpoint. And then have the Board of Civil Authority do the rounds and designate subject properties, which would...
So, like, to add an additional municipal tax to properties that are considered derelict by an elected committee?
Well, a Board of Civil Authority would make the decisions.
Okay.
But then, because we already, the listers already do subject us to a view tax. So if you have a good view, you're gonna pay.
We don't have a tax.
Well, I mean, it's part of the property assessment, the valuation of the property. I mean, that's the way it used to be. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think we have that.
But there are criteria like the size of your house. You're assessed by the square footage of your house. So if you add one more criteria to that assessment, the junk around the yard or falling down trailers or burned out trailers or whatever have you, then just add a surcharge.
Right, I think we're going to have...
tax. And that would take us, because we have a problem, a lot of people don't want zoning in this town.
I think there is a difference, though, between real zoning and an ordinance, though.
You're right.
We don't want zoning. We don't need it.
When you get to town meeting, you'll have a problem with the...
And we already have a dog ordinance. Kind of ordinance.
Yeah, we do have a dog ordinance.
Did you have any feedback besides mine?
No, Bobby had a couple questions. Definitely anybody else.
Okay.
So, but I guess part of where I was going with that is, like, I think I don't know if there's a way to schedule an additional meeting just on this topic, or...
Well, we can always discuss it at the next meeting.
Yeah.
Because it's going to take a while.
I think Yale has an update, and we have people coming from Wheelock, and so...
If we're a few...
If we run it a little late, we're running a little late.
I mean, I think this is...
I gave Karen some ideas, too. But I don't want to do it in the context of at a scheduled meeting like this. You really need to have a committee sit down, maybe with planning commission and the select board, to sit down and start hashing this, and you need to have a lawyer there.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you're going to have to spend some money, but you got to have a lawyer there from day one, so that when they're listening, they can raise his hand and say, you can't do that. If you don't have somebody who's there who's saying, you can't do that, then you're going to continually run into, well, we got to talk to the lawyer now that we have a draft. You need to have a lawyer that'll help you with the language and the legality. And then we can have some productive conversations.
Well, I think we're kind of dealing with two different things here at the same time, you know, with the things that are kind of trashy, but the other thing is from a health standpoint as well.
I think most of them would fall into that category.
And I would say when it comes to a health issue,
health and safety
becomes the health officer and then the Department of Health problems. So, like, there are properties that have rat issues. That's a Department of Health issue.
Right.
Now, obviously, we know it's the state, so they might be like, well, whatever. But things that get into an actual health concern, that wouldn't pertain to the ordinance because that would be a health officer and Department of Health issue.
I think we have to consider that, though, because when we were in the town plan talking about this, we did have a health officer go out to one of the properties of concern and visit, but basically sort of the feedback we got was that if it has to go to the state, it basically sits there like nothing urgent, nothing
goes with that.
That's my concern with having to deal with the state.
So I think we gotta try to figure out with any kind of ordinance how to keep it within our purview as much as possible. And I also, I guess the thing I wanted to say was I think this is fantastic that you found so many concrete examples, and I think we really should be working on it. But if you look at the town plan at the last page, we have like a tiered list of potential activities that are aimed at addressing these concerns. And I would say that we, in the planning commission at least, can proceed with some of those activities, but consider how we can sort of, because I think to your point about concern about zoning and having to get people like ordinance versus zoning, I think if the sense within the town is that this is a concern to everyone and there are actions being taken on it, you're going to lay the groundwork for, you know, this is another, you know, point of action is this ordinance, and kind of separate it from a zoning thing. It's more like a community fostered sort of proposal, you know.
Another problem with the ordinance though is enforcement.
Yes, that was right,
and that's what we always say is like, how do you?
And Bennington is a prime example. They've got that great 9-10 page ordinance, and how long did they go into the fight with Slate Ridge, and how many hundreds of thousands of dollars did they go into debt with?
Well, look at Burke.
So
with a trailer, they spent $30,000 trying to get rid of the guy, and then he's got another one there. I don't think enforcement should come into this if it's done properly. But on the other hand, mine's a lot more passive, but I think ultimately we did just as successful. But anyway, you're out of time. Thank you. But no, I would love to sit on a committee if we can have another meeting sometime with a commission and the select board.
I think it's something that we should keep. We should go forward with and try to figure out how to obviously find an attorney that is, this is their purview.
Yeah, that's right. That's
and
important.
Because like our town attorney is not going to be able to do this. So find an attorney that this is their purview and then have meetings and start really trying to hammer out some actual actions.
I think it should probably be a working meeting separate from this.
This is more of bringing it to the attention, the forefront, so that we can.
I'm going to put that down here in my list to have Al find a good attorney.
If you're serious about it, I will.
I am serious.
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah. Okay. Did the
who's your attorney right now?
Did the planning commission have anything
Hannah,
that you wanted
Hannah
to
Trudeau.
Hannah Trudeau is at, our attorney at
Ginsburg
and
Groves.
Can
you send me an email on
that?
And just put me on deferred till the next meeting.
Are you sure? Because we have a few minutes.
No, we already covered what we needed to cover this afternoon, so there's nothing else to talk about.
And I sent all those papers to you, so just take a look. If there's anything additional that you need to fill out the paperwork for the MERP, just send me an email and I'll get it to you Friday morning.
Okay, and last but not least, send me the emails of the select board, because I've got your new one, but I've got Eric's, but I don't have the other two.
Okay, send, yep, emails. And a
3 years.
Okay.
Much appreciated.
Can do. Do you want to do an official time end? Time
sure
stamp?
Thing. All right, we have a.
That's not right.
Make a motion.
When are you making?
I make a motion. We adjourn.
You're like. And 6:32.